Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and I have a longtime friend right here with me this afternoon. Dr. Mary Ann Lenti is here with us. You know, you always used to hear her playing the piano, practicing all the time. Somewhere along the way, though, this creative artist came out, and now I think you do both.
I do. I still know how to play the piano. I have all of one piano student that I maintain.
One? Oh, okay.
One. I have one piano student. That's Ann Craig. She's the director of the Arts Center.
Right. And she always wanted to learn to play the piano.
That's right.
Yes.
And she is learning. I have had to learn how to play most of the Baptist hymnal.
Okay.
Which I had not was not part of my early musical experience. So it's been a learning curve for me, too.
Wow.
Hymns are very difficult to play.
Are they?
Yeah, because they're meant to be sung soprano, alto, tenor, bass. And it's not really, the guy who writes the hymn isn't thinking of somebody's fingers. He's thinking of the singers.
Oh, okay.
So they're not really easily playable.
Wow.
But by golly, I'm teaching them to Anne and making a go at it myself. She's going to have, told you, she's going to need to switch churches because we're about to finish with the Baptist hymnal. We might have to go on to the Methodist hymnal or
Presbyterian
or the Associate Reformed Presbyterian. They got some different ones out there.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Well, you actually have a studio at the Arts Center, don't you?
I am in Studio A.
That was the only studio you probably would have...
I held out for that one. That my studio is in the space that used to be the Postmaster General's.
Wow.
So I've got the power comes with my studio.
Power comes
yes.
with your studio.
And the postmaster was Anne's father.
Was it really?
So she comes for lessons in the place where her father worked.
How about that? That's pretty
yeah.
cool.
And to have a piano in your art studio is kind of nifty too.
That's right. So if you're ever getting frustrated, do you ever go over and pound on the piano for a little bit?
I let Anne do that.
You let Anne do that? Okay. All right. Well, we're going to be talking with her about her, I guess we should say, maybe a transformation from
yeah.
pianist to artist.
It's really a second career.
It is a second career.
A second career and no less demanding than music. It's just it's a lot quieter.
A lot quieter, yes.
Yeah.
Now, but one of the things that I think I was reading in your information that you sent me, though, was the fact that as a pianist, you are always, you're not allowed to interpret as much as you are as far as being an artist, meaning the whoever wrote the music scripted it the way they wanted it played and this type of thing?
Yeah, strictly speaking, art is a creative venue.
Mm-hmm.
Music, playing music the way I do, is an interpretive skill.
Okay.
When I sit down to the piano and I'm going to play you a Beethoven sonata, say,
mm-hmm.
Beethoven has told me how fast to do it, like Allegro or maybe Allegro con brio or Andante. He's given me instructions. He tells me when to play, tells me how to count it, tells me how loud to play,
mm-hmm.
tells me when to get softer, when to get louder. You read like an actor reads the script. The actor isn't making up the words.
Sure.
He's reading the script. And if it's supposed to be whispered, he whispers. And if it's supposed to be shouted, he shouts. The actor, however, has a director. I don't. So I make my own calls. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, when you have traveled, you and your husband, Tony, you've traveled around the world.
Yeah.
Been in all different in environments and really had a terrific career in music. What made you decide to branch off into art?
It wasn't a decision.
Okay.
I had always messed with it. The first year we were married, I made our Christmas cards. I drew an elephant and three wise men. That was in a little apartment in Florence, Italy. And
Wait a minute. An elephant and three wise men. I can't quite get the connection there,
Marianne. Well, the three wise men arrived from the East.
Okay.
And the East has elephants. If
okay.
you check your Bible carefully, it's in there.
Okay. All right.
It's just, I needed something to take up the space at the back of the card. So I put an...
a camel wasn't big enough.
No, a camel wasn't big enough. It was an elephant. They came from east, really far east, maybe India.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly where in the east, but it was definitely a part of the east that had elephants.
And therein begins the quest for art in an early time.
And I always used to design our posters. Mm-hmm. I designed our program covers. I designed the program cover that Lander University used for all of their concerts for years and years and years.
And you grew up around art.
I grew up around art. We had nothing but original art on the walls when I grew up. No prints of anything.
And you had uncles that
My mother's two brothers were both artists and continued to be throughout their careers. And my father was an artist. That's how my mother and my father met, was that my uncles and my dad were in the same art class. And one of the uncles introduced his sister, my mom, to this painter. And they hit it off. And they ended up taking a first prize in a dance contest at the Albright Knox Art Museum in Buffalo.
How about that?
They had never danced before together, but he was such a good leader, and this is her first date, and she just went along, followed the lead, and they won a dance contest.
How about that?
Yeah, and
that's good stuff.
Yeah, my mother never told me that till after I was way grown up. She said they met on the stairs of the art department, the art museum. That's what she always said.
She never told you that story.
No, my father did not have her in his arms when they met. No. I was protected from that little bit of information.
Is your mom still living?
She sure is. She's still dancing, too.
Well, I was going to bring up, because I remember seeing her several years ago on the stage over there at Lander.
She danced for two of our concerts for the Flower Festival.
Right.
Because we always gave a recital during the South Carolina Flower Festival. And she does... She does contemporary numbers. I think she did Santa Baby for one of them. And, yeah, she still dances competitively ballroom, and she's 93. She'll be 94 in May.
Wow.
And that means in the high heels.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how's she doing in her... Do they have a senior part for competition?
Well, they have an 80 and over group, which she always...
She's been in that group for a while,
She always wins.
She doesn't
have a... Yeah, not a whole lot of competition in that group, but she's still dancing.
That's terrific.
And she gets a standing ovation when she takes the stage at Fred Astaire Studios during the showcase performances. She gets a standing ovation when she walks on stage. She gets a standing ovation at the end of the dance. And she gets another standing ovation when she sits down, just for having done it. She's like a role model for Buffalo, New York.
She's very well known then.
Yes. She's danced on television in Buffalo.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's terrific.
That was only back when she was 92.
It was 92. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, Marianne, I see a long life for you, my dear.
I don't know. I don't move around as much as she does. You know, art is more sedentary.
Yeah, okay.
And you know what the number one problem is for pianists, health problems.
What is
occupational
it?
Hazards, hemorrhoids.
Hemorrhoids, oh my God. Too many hours sitting practicing, right?
You got that right.
And then you've got your artwork. Well, we are here with Marianne Lenti. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. We come back, we got some fascinating stuff to talk about. I sure hope you'll stay with us right here on WCRS.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. You know, we're having a good time talking about the fact, you know, whenever the two of you would be on stage, it was always kind of a competition for the mic, wasn't it?
It really was. We both thought of things to say. We're both teachers and lifelong teachers, so our brains are just a twitter with ideas on the music that we use to describe it. And I did have to assert my authority as a wife on occasion to get the mic.
Yes.
Not very many people remember this, but when we first gave concerts here,
yes,
Tony did all the talking.
I don't remember that.
And I was mute.
You were mute?
The mute
button had been pressed on Marianne.
The mute button had been pressed, and this one time I just asked him, can I say a little something about something we're playing? And he said, well, All right. He didn't want to, you know, seem too Archie Bunker about it, so he...
you got the mic?
I got the mic, and I went to town.
And after that, there was no turning back?
Once I got the taste, the feel of the microphone in my hand, that was it. I had to say, to add my two bits to the learned discourse that my husband was proffering to the audience.
It really kind of... You brought him down a peg or two, yes, I would say.
I think in general in life, yes. I don't mean to say that he married beneath his station. I didn't bring him down that way, but with Tony, he's so proper.
He is.
And his etiquette is so perfect that to see him buckle just a little is fun.
It's fun. Well, how did you meet this illustrious husband of yours?
In a practice room, of course.
In a practice room?
I was 17.
And you know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, I know what you mean. And Tony thought he knew too. But I was 17. He was 18 going on 19. He was an upperclassman and I was a freshman. And I had never dated before.
Wow.
And he started walking me home from the practice room. You got to understand, Eastman School of Music has no campus.
Okay.
It's a professional school. It's concrete and brick. And it's in the center of downtown Rochester. This is before the days of gentrification when downtown areas was not a place you wanted to be in.
Right.
And so walking back and forth it took some skill. Just
took
to avoid, you had to avoid the Bamboo Club group.
Okay.
There was a strip joint called the Bamboo Club.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, on East Avenue in Rochester. So you could get yourself in a little trouble around there if you didn't look very seriously while you were walking through the Rochester cold. So yeah, he started walking me back and forth. And then he just kept all the other boys away from me, so I didn't get a chance to date anybody else. I literally married my first date.
How do you look back on that now, Marianne?
I don't spend a lot of time looking back. If you want to know the truth, I try to look forward.
Okay.
Sometimes it's just better to look ahead.
Yes.
And, we're still married by some fluke at this point.
And Tony is still...
Still teaching full-time. He's music to the core.
Music to the core.
Yes. His hobby is music.
Now, how does he feel about the fact that you went off kind of in a different tangent here on your art?
Delighted.
Delighted.
Delighted. He is my framer.
Okay.
He frames all my paintings. He helps judge them. He looks at them, and I'll say, is anything here sticking out at you? And he says, like I have a shot of a painting of Bermuda, mm-hmm. and it's a beach. And he said, Marianne, if that wave was really as high as you show it, it would wipe out the lighthouse. So...
So there you go.
Yeah, so here it is.
Yes, you brought a picture. It'll be in the video. Yes.
It'll be in the video, but there was a big wave right over here.
And so you toned it down?
I toned it down. I toned it into just a little reflection of light on the water. So he offers little questions answered when I ask them. But he's delighted that I have something that I'm doing that I can talk about without his knowing anything about it. Because while I'm talking about...
Because therefore he can't say anything about it. Lovely!
While I'm talking about art, I'm the expert in the room. But when I was talking about music, there's two experts in the room.
That can be a conflict sometimes.
And and teaching next door to each other for many years, even years when we shared a studio, that means your husband can never come home and say... Gracie Sue had a really bad lesson. And the wife should say, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Here, let me fetch your slippers. And instead, he comes home and says, Gracie Sue had a very bad lesson. I'll say, what are you teaching her? Why don't you try some Haydn? I think she would do well with the Haydn variations.
It's kind of like Jeff and Ann's relationship.
It's kind of like if you do the same thing as your husband.
Yes, exactly.
It's an interesting dynamic that forms.
Yes. And you can never escape it.
I can hear your voice dropping as you tell me this.
That's right. It's true. It's very true.
You never escape it.
Exactly.
That's right.
So, that's great. So you got into art. You've been working with the art. How do you feel you're progressing in your art, Marianne?
Oh, I'm morphing.
Morphing?
I morph daily.
Okay. Are you molt? Maybe you molt.
No,
like
I'm not molting. No, there's a difference between morph and molt. I have all my hair.
Okay.
Thank you, Anne.
Okay. You'll have to catch that in the video, what
you know,
she just
like,
did, folks. Okay.
Like Picasso had his blue period and his cubism period, and Stravinsky had his neoclassic period and his 12-tone period. I've gone through periods with my art. For a while there, when I first put oil paint on a canvas, I did nothing but abstract pictures of copied from electron microscope photographs of the exterior of soap bubbles.
Wow, that's deep, Marianne.
That's and the colors on a soap bubble are kind of like the shades. Have you ever seen gasoline spilled on a wet pavement? You know how it makes that kind of rainbow
iridescent effect? Right.
That's what the outside of a soap bubble looks like in various formations with all sorts of flow back and forth. My sons have those, and some of them were scooped up. There's none of those left.
How about that?
And then I went through a Florentine period where I did Florence. We spent the first year of our marriage in Florence and started our piano duo careers in Florence. And so Florence
Italy.
Is always Florence, Italy.
Right.
Yeah. And so Florence has always been close to my heart. So for a long time, I did villas and art scenes with the countryside of Tuscany, sort of a quilt pattern of colors, and those all got snapped up. I'm sure the guy who snapped them up is looking for more of those, but I've morphed.
You've morphed.
That era is over. And now I know I'm a landscape painter.
Okay.
My landscapes are unpopulated.
Unpopulated.
I think after years of teaching crowds of people and years of playing in front of even larger crowds of people,
sure.
I'm kind of worn out in the people department.
Okay.
So you'll look, there's no people in my paintings. It's just absolutely calm, nothing to challenge you in terms of a presence. You can see what it is. It's representational art. It's always been, aside from the soap bubbles, which you may think bordered on the abstract, but they were not abstract in the absolute sense, in that they were soap bubbles. So I'm morphing into a more calm looking type of landscape, the kind of landscape I'd like to walk into and just savor on my own. When I see people, that presents a problem to me, so I leave them out.
You leave them out.
Although I've done some portraits and things like that. I'll do a portrait.
Sure.
That's distinctly a person.
Yes.
But in my landscapes, I do not use the figure.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Do you see yourself will be morphing again, or do you think you may stay with the landscapes and this type of thing?
I seem to be using landscapes in most of my earlier morphs. So I think landscape is always going to be a favorite of mine. You don't know with morphing. You don't know what's going to affect the morph. I'm reading books constantly. I must have 100 art books. I've read every biography of every painter that I've ever found. Big, thick works. The complete life of Picasso, the complete life of Monet, the complete works, the complete story of Jackson Pollock. I mean, the book was 900 pages long. And I've read them all, and each time I read, something triggers. Some little turn of phrase triggers me to think in a different way about art. And so I can't really tell you what is going to cause the morph. I could be morphing right here before you as we sit.
Wow, you look so much like yourself, Marianne.
I could be morphing. But yeah, and the beautiful thing is I don't have to answer to anyone. If I decide to morph, by golly, I will.
Well, there you go. So there's no, I'm going to do this today, and how's that going to affect the piece of piano playing that we've been doing?
that's right, and your assistant asked me if I had ever done an interview before, and I sure have, but this is the first time I've ever been interviewed without having to share the mic with Tony. And it's also a first interview where nobody's asking me to play the piano.
Well, isn't this great?
So that I'm not breaking into Blueberry Hill or Rhapsody in Blue.
Tiger Rag.
Tiger Rag. Oh, I've done that.
I know. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, we played for a Clemson-Carolina game outside the Death Valley Stadium. I think it was Gate 14.
Wasn't it a prize that somebody had won, a fundraiser?
We donated a concert to Witten Center. And it was bid upon, and the winning bidder was Death Valley Exxon Station and a doctor and a bank all went in together and paid for us to give a big concert for a party at the Clemson-Carolina game.
Well, there you go. Hey, it's time for South Carolina Radio News. My very special guest, Marianne Lenti, will be back after the news. You got a question? Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Sharp Facets Gallery, how you doing this afternoon? Hey, by the way, I do want to tell, I have been corrected on something from this morning. The GOP meeting is not until next Monday, folks. So it's next Monday at 6 o'clock that Hope Walker from the State Director's Office will be here. So just so you know, next Monday is the date. So if you show up over there at the Veterans Center, American Legion, there may not be anybody there, so I'm sorry. Anyways, moving right along here, we do have Marianne Lenti with us here today. Marianne, we've been talking about your art, and one of the things that piqued my interest is you said you're reading all these books and all these artist books everything.
Oh, yes, constantly. I can't even look at television. When I watch The Good Wife, I'm looking to see what art is on the wall behind Will's desk. If you don't know that,
right,
Will is the romantic interest there. But he's a high-time lawyer, and I'm always checking out the art on the walls of TV sets. It's unreal. I'm just totally into it.
So do you think you approach this because of being a teacher, reading all these art books, visiting all these art museums? What do you think?
Being a teacher? I guess I have a teacher's curiosity to know as much about a topic as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And in the same way that I found music interesting and fascinating, that is to say, there's no limit to the depth to which you can go in music.
Right.
Understanding it, learning about it, reading about it. There's no depth to the amount of knowledge you can have about art. You can be familiar with the various periods of art, with various artists, but then there's the whole notion of value and line and balance and harmony and all the factors that go into making a good painting.
Sure.
And I'd read some books and make myself flashcards because there were so many terms that I needed to clinch.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd give myself flashcards and want to know. I know that sounds mad. It sounds insane because I'm a musician by trade. But I was so fascinated by it, I just couldn't help it. I would sketch in bed at night, even do pen and ink sketches, and I lost my pen one time as I was doing nudes. N-U-D-E-S.
In bed.
Nudes in bed. I was
nudes
doing pictures.
In bed. Okay, Marianne, this is getting interesting. Yes, go ahead.
It's not too bad after that. Once you get over being nude in bed, drawing nudes in bed, I just lost track of the pen.
Okay.
And I've got this big blotch on my jammies the next morning. This big black blotch on my jammies. And I've ruined quite a few pillow slips as well. So it's something. When I travel, I bring a sketch pad and charcoal, and I'm always working.
You know, before you got into music, when you were growing up as a little girl, did you always want to be into music, or what were your thoughts?
Well, I loved music.
Mm-hmm.
My father wanted me to become a pianist.
Okay.
He bought me a piano.
Okay.
And then I took lessons with the very best teacher in Buffalo, and I saw myself getting ahead and really advancing. And that's something that I've tried to use in my own teaching, is that every student, and I don't care whether you're a student of art or music or Zumba, if you, as an, you need to sense your own progress in something, and that's like a narcotic.
Right.
You sense yourself getting better, and so you take that road to see what else might happen. So that happened to me with music, and it meant laying everything else aside. And I laid aside dating and reading and movies and cheerleading and anything that would take away, even laid aside Girl Scouts. I dropped out of Girl Scouts at that point because all my time went into practice. So really that's all I knew for year after year. From the time I was maybe in seventh grade, the door was closed on everything else and open to music. And that's what it takes.
Wow.
It takes that kind of discipline and doing it all the time, all day, every day, and bringing your best to it for years and years. And then you, of course, go to a conservatory, and they pretty much demand that. Then we started a performing career, and that demands that. So we went straight from high school through my entire life, needing to rehearse, learning about music, studying, practicing, rehearsing, trying to keep the marriage together. There were times when I'm getting close to a concert, my tact leaves. And if Tony had played something that was I didn't care for, I should have said, you suppose we could take it from measure 15, the top of the page, and give that another go, shall we, sweetheart? Yes, dear. But instead, what happened was, we'd get across this passage, and I would just stop playing and say, do you really want to play it that way? Because if you really want to play it that way, I guess I'll have to over-pedal it, too. And so, yeah.
The very fact that you get out on stage together as a team could be amazing sometimes.
It's amazing. Yes. It really is amazing. Yeah, tact goes out the window. The marriage becomes another animal altogether. How do we get back onto Tony, anyway?
It just happened. I was just asking you how you got into music.
That's how I got into music.
Okay.
But
well,
I always...
Question,
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so my question is, now that you're into art, do you find yourself totally consumed almost in the same way you were with your music?
Yes.
Okay.
A quick yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I go to as many different art classes as I can possibly go to. If there's a workshop, I go. If it means in being in this, going out on the day when you think the entire place is closed down because of snow, I go anyway. Just to see if maybe somebody's opening an art studio.
Right.
And I have my art studio to go to in the art center.
Mm-hmm.
Art center, right. And right now I'm going to a class of artists that used to study with Skip Shelton, who passed away.
Yes.
Skip's widow has kept the studio open, and we just all go back there like disciples, and we don't have a leader. And I have to give a shout out to Skip Shelton's studio, with Shirley Shelton and Pillow Pat and Sheila and Debbie and Eric and Ann and Heather and Diane and Nick, and we all just paint for 3 hours, and go back the next day and paint for another 3 hours. Occasionally we'll ask each other, you know,
you
a
think?
Question, what do you think of this? Do you think I need a third cattail in this painting? Or, yeah, so it's just all, it's all good.
Well, now, what do you think is the most valuable, if you could put it in one or two sentences, you can have two sentences that Skip taught you?
First sentence is, be brave. Short sentence.
Very short.
He would say this as you were hovering over your painting with a small brush with a worried look on your face.
Yes.
So be brave is the first one, and that's the most obvious one. And the other one is, you can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Yep.
He's an enabler.
He was.
Yeah, really an enabler. He was no nonsense, got right down to business. And if you asked him to paint a beautiful picture of a palm tree, he knew exactly what the bark would look like, exactly what the shape of the fronds would look like, and he just knocked them out.
Now, you were sharing a story about the time he was painting a piece of art to go in front of a fireplace.
He had gotten a commission to do a fireplace fan. And this was cut out of some kind of wood, and it was in a fan shape, and it's to put in front of the fireplace. And it was a flower arrangement painted upon the fan, mm-hmm. with all sorts of different colors of the flowers overlapping one another. And I was in the studio with him when he was finishing it up, because I used to just hang around, not when he was teaching, just to watch him paint.
Sure.
And he said, well, now all I got to do is put a coat of polyurethane on this baby, and she's ready to go. So he picks up a can, he shake it, and he did the, does this pick up my?
Yes, it does.
Anyway, he sprayed the fan, and it was a can of black paint that he accidentally picked up.
Oh, my God.
So he painted, he's covered all these beautiful flowers with black paint. Of course, he stopped as soon as he saw. And we're going, oh, my goodness, what are you going to do? And he says, I'll take care of it. And within a half an hour, he had repainted out all those flowers. And he called the lady on the phone, said, come on down, it's ready to get. I would have said a dirty word myself.
You would have?
Yeah. Never heard Skip say a dirty word.
He is amazing. I had the pleasure of interviewing him twice on the radio here, and we had a fantastic time.
A real character, and true blue. True blue. What you see was what you got.
Absolutely. So I think it's great that she's kept the studio open there and y'all are able to go and paint.
It's really fun. And it's the whole notion of having a studio with no teacher is tremendously freeing. Mm-hmm. We still remember things that Skip would say, like, how would Skip mix a purple over here? Well, it's alizarin crimson, I guess, and let's try the phthalo blue. And then remember, you got to add white in order to see the shade of purple you've ended up with. Otherwise, it just looks like muck. And so all these little hints that we remember, little asides that he made, live on in the memories of all of his students.
That's terrific. That is absolutely fabulous. Hey, I'm here with the one and only Marianne Lenti. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Gracie is just moving around here. Let's hope she stays quiet. That's right. We're here with Marianne Lenti here this afternoon, having a good time talking about art. Well, you know, the one thing that we can say about what you've been doing with your art, it has become so consuming. It has really given you a whole new purpose. Yes?
Yes, it is. Just the same way that music occupied me, art has just filled. It's like it filled a vacuum, a very temporary vacuum, but whoop, it just filled it right up. And we were saying at the break, I go to bed at night thinking about it and thinking, oh, I can't wait to get to thus and such a canvas tomorrow because what I'm going to try is this.
Right.
And you see, in art, there is no time element. Music and teaching are very time-oriented pursuits. Your class starts at a certain time, it ends at a certain time, it is certain days of the week, and you simply show up and be there.
That's right.
And same thing with a concert. I've done all the work, I've done all the rehearsal, is that good enough? No. I've got to go to your piano, and I've got to recreate the whole thing on the spot at 8 o'clock at night.
You've got to be in the mood.
Yeah? Well, you know, it's not a whole lot unlike prostitution, I suppose. You simply need to perform.
Yes. At a certain time.
At a certain time. At a certain place. You need to get up and recreate the whole thing. And with art, you can take half an hour on one corner of a canvas. Mm-hmm. You can do the whole canvas in 2 hours, start to finish, and have it be good. Mm-hmm. Or you can take 2 months, put the thing in a frame, put it up in your studio, look at it in the frame, have something bother you, take it back home, take the damn frame off of it, and take the frame off of it and retouch. So right. There is no time element, which is incredibly relaxing and freeing.
And if you want to paint, I guess, at 12 o'clock at night, I guess you can.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no time limit. If being creative, if you're feeling good about it, you can just keep working.
We're messy, but we're not noisy.
Right.
My I paint in my kitchen at home, and the entire island is devoted to jars of paint brushes, tubes and tubes of paint. There are literally boxes of them, of paints, because I'm so fascinated by all the colors. And if I can get a certain turquoisey, teal-type blue with just a hint more green than you might expect, I go for it. I've got every conceivable color made to man. And I play with all of it. It's like toys. And all you need to do is mention a new brush or a new type of canvas or a new gigaw for design, or something to even squeeze the rest of the paint out of your tube. And it's a new toy to buy.
Right.
You go straight to the store and you buy another toy.
Yeah.
And you collect them and then you play with them at will. It's, I would have gotten into it. If I'd have known how much fun it was, I would have started it earlier, which would have put Tony out of a job.
There you go. That could have been a problem.
Yeah, that would have been a problem. So maybe it's just as well it came about when it came about.
Absolutely. Well, you have two sons.
I have two grown sons.
What are they doing?
Joey is in social work. He's just finished his MSW. He's living in Chicago with his MSW. Everybody's
MSW.
MSW is Joey, like mom and dad, has married someone in exactly his field doing exactly what he does.
Okay.
So they're living in Chicago. John is a musician. He was a guitar major in college at the North Carolina School for the Arts. And he got to playing this beautiful music from the Renaissance period on guitar, and he thought, why not do it on the instrument it was intended for? And took a year, went to London, stayed with an American expat in London, learned to play the lute, came back, got his master's degree in lute at Indiana University, and has been touring. He just got back from Hawaii. He tours with a lute and something called a theorbo, T-H-E-O-R-B-O.
Okay, what's that?
It's an instrument that you choose to use in our family when you don't want your parents to know what the heck it is that you're doing.
Okay.
I can't read his music.
You can't read his music?
No, he reads different kind of clefs and staffs than I use.
Okay. All right. Gracie is getting into
Gracie's
your music
thinking.
Here
she's thinking, what is this theorbo?
Yeah, exactly.
But John tours and plays early music. Mm-hmm. Just had a CD release. It's available on iTunes.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Following in his parents' footsteps.
That's to make you
and
proud.
And he's married, too.
Okay.
But his wife is a wonderful singer.
Okay.
But she has a normal job, too.
She has a normal job.
Yes.
She doesn't sing to the lute and the whatever that instrument was.
No, she belongs to a quasi-professional church ensemble, and she's done solos for them. She's got a gorgeous voice.
Oh. Isn't that amazing how that turns out, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You've got to enjoy the arts and things if you're going to be in this family.
Okay, well, how about your pets then? You have pets that are into music and the arts?
The pets are more into art than they are into music, because music means mom and dad have to leave the house and leave them alone. Art, I paint with the dogs all around me.
Yes.
It's not unusual for me to have a palette of nice, gooey paint that I'm holding close to my lap and have a cat jump onto it. I don't even pretend anymore to get the cat hairs off of my canvases. There are some painted in.
They're part of your art.
They're painted in. That's right. The early impressionists used to paint out of doors and got dirt into their paints.
Yes.
And straw and whatever was blowing around. Well, I have cat hair.
You have cat hair?
Yeah.
Have any of the cats signed any of the paintings, Marianne?
No.
You're not going to share that, are you?
No, they create an intermission in my artistic exploits while I clean them up and reestablish the order of my palette.
Yes, I understand.
But they love art because I'm home when I'm doing it.
Sure. And then you've got two dogs?
Got three dogs.
Three dogs.
Three dogs and two cats. We just love, I guess it's empty nest syndrome? Gone berserk?
Gone berserk, yes. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So as you look at what you're going to be doing, what's coming up? Aren't you going in August? Are you going on a trip?
Yes, in August we're going to take a trip to Kiwi Key. mm-hmm. where we, Tony and I, are resident artists for the week. Tony is going to do a concert yes. and discuss the music of Chopin and give lessons to whomever wants to have a lesson. Yes. And I'm going to paint a painting on site of Kiwiki
yes.
and discuss my creative process.
Right.
And also coach any painters or drawers that are that would like to have me comment upon their work. And we'll do this for a whole week and live in a beautiful resort community, and we're looking forward to that. So
nice work when you can get that type of
artists in residence as a musician and a pianist. Doesn't get much better than that.
No, it doesn't, because you'll have your own space during the day. Yes,
exactly. We'll have our own space during the day, and we'll be able to relax. The dogs don't like it because we're going to be out of the house, and they're going to Camp Chinkapin.
Okay,
they're
right.
going to camp.
So if there was a vote on it, they wouldn't have voted for
No, they'd rather keep us home and petting them and doing exactly what it is you're doing it's with Gracie crazy. Right now.
Yes, I know. She's gotten a little anxious here. Well, you know, Marianne, I think it is so terrific that the journey that you're on, going down a new road, a new path.
And morphing. Morphing as I go. I mean, that would make a great autobiography. Morphing as I go. Who knows where it'll end up?
Did Mork morph? Mork and Mindy.
Robin, what's his name?
Robin, yes. What is his name? Anyways, Mork and Mindy. I was thinking
Robin
about
Williams.
Robin Williams.
No,
well,
I know.
He's kind of morphed. He has morphed.
He's morphed. Well, yes, and he morphed into serious drama. I think there's a logical need to change the rules as you go through life. I mean, I changed from a solo pianist to a duettist, and then to a duo pianist.
Yes.
And each one brings with it a different set of challenges, so it never gets old. It never gets tired. It never becomes a job.
That's important.
There was somebody I read recently who said, this particular job doesn't use your mind. It only uses your time. In reference to a job they wanted to pass up.
Sure.
It was fill time, but didn't use your mind. And if you're in the arts, that never happens. You're used up all the way.
Absolutely.
It uses every part of your cranium.
It does. That's so cool. Well, listen, you know what? It has been an absolute pleasure to be able to sit down and
Thank
talk
you.
Art and We've... music and everything.
Great, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, this is great. You know, you've been listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. We are going to hear the news, and Gracie's going to go outdoors for a second, and then I am coming back because Friday afternoon, I told you I was on an undercover mission. We're going to play a little bit of that undercover mission for you. So don't you go away. We'll be right back.